To the utter dismay of socialists around the world, we're back. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is an important episode of the Hour of the Time. Please make sure you have pen and paper by your side. And if you've been feeling all alone in your battle, if you think that there are just a few militias scattered around this country, well, you're wrong. But before we get into all that, right, folks. It's Laid Back Gene with the Metal Report.
Hey, I was wondering if you're going to remember the intro music.
Oh, of course. That's yours. That belongs to you now.
That's my song. I like that. Before I get started, I wanted to read something here. I just got this today. It was the Dow Theory Letters. It's put out by Richard Russell out of La Jolla, California. And it's the November 9th issue. And he just writes a two or three page newsletter that talks about the stock market, the bond market, the money market, and the gold market, and he talks about just a little bit of everything. But they had a really interesting section here about our economy and gold in general. If I'd like to just take a second here and read this, it says, this nation's war on gold continues. The November 4th Wall Street Journal reports that the U.S. Customs Service is considering an 7.8% import duty on certain gold bars produced overseas. Gold industry officials say that this could devastate the domestic gold industry, says John Lutley, president of the Gold Institute. This is the craziest, most absurd proposal I've ever seen. Russell comments, says, increasingly, I am opting for actual ownership of gold coins. I don't mean gold in a fund or gold held at a dealer or gold in a brokerage account. I mean paid-up gold coins in a place where you can put your hands and nobody else is on them. As the dollar weakens and the bear market continues, I'm thinking that the war against gold will intensify. But first, in order to get a glimpse of the future, it's necessary to go into some of the mysteries of the U.S. government finance. In 1970, federal spending consumed about 20% of this nation's gross domestic product. This year, the figure is nearly 30%. Again, in 1963, so-called entitlement programs ate up 29% of all government spending. Interest on the national debt consumed 6.9%, leaving a large 70.4% for discretionary spending. But this picture has changed, and drastically. By 1993, entitlement spending hit $864 billion, or 61.5% of the total federal budget.
Socialism.
Exactly. Interest on the federal debt took 14.1, leaving 24.4 for discretionary spending, and it goes on to give projections for year 2003, which gets smaller and smaller. So it says, so the U.S. faces a number of incredible problems. Number one, the federal deficits are continuing to the tune of roughly $300 billion a year. Actually, it's more than that. But while at the same time, the national debt pushes ever closer to $5 trillion. A few years from now, the federal deficits are slated to accelerate upward again, and rising interest rates will add tens of billions of dollars to the total. Entitlement, mainly Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, are eating up this nation alive at interest cost, and there isn't a heck of a lot left for discretionary spending. Yet Washington keeps coming up with new spending plans, but there's no new money for new spending. There isn't enough money for old spending. It's clear, at least to me, the federal deficit is rising and entitlements and interest costs are moving the U.S. toward bankruptcy. Something has to give. What's it going to be?
It's going to be the sheeple, I can tell you that right now.
As I said, it says, this is the fact that we're building an unbelievable giant credit and debt bubble, and I believe that we are seeing now the very early beginnings of a collapse of the bubble. The debt buildup, the credit explosion, it can't be sustained. The pin has been thrust into the debt bubble, and as the air wheezes out of the bubble, we're feeling the hot breath of deflation. I'm afraid that's exactly what's happening. Deflation is the concept that nobody wants to think about or accept. Deflation, the event that nobody's prepared for, our sheeple that we're talking about. But the fact remains that the U.S. has spent its future. We've been spending it ever since World War II. The U.S. has spent my kids' inheritance and your grandkids' inheritance. The U.S. has spent itself into a black hole, and I honestly don't know how we're going to get out of it. What do we as investors do? We try to survive. The initial reaction, and I'm talking about investors in the U.S. and around the world, is to move out of dollars and into stronger currencies, which is what's been happening. The yen, the Deutschmark, the Swiss franc, and the British pound have all been moving up strongly against the dollar. Gold has been pretty much forsaken in this early phase as investors exit out of dollar. Gold hasn't really gone down, mind you. It has just been forsaken. Somewhere ahead, it will be seen that if the dollar is an outcast, all paper fiat currencies will also be suspect. That will bring in gradual and then increasingly accumulating of real money, gold. Right now, today, I advocate mainly accumulating gold coins. Gold, the metal that represents riskless wealth. Riskless because gold has no debt against it. Therefore, it cannot go bankrupt. And it's wealth that you control since you own it physically and it's in your possession. That, in a nutshell, is the case for holding gold, and that's my best and most considered view of the future. Gold is money. Gold is intrinsic. Gold cannot go bankrupt because it has no debt against it. When you hold the gold, you don't need confidence. All you need is time. And it's been that way throughout history, and it'll be that way in the future. I just thought that was an interesting article. Everybody's, you know, crying, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, you know, I think it's the handwriting's already been on the wall. As far as the markets today, gold had a high of 387.10, a low of 385.30, to close at 386.30, down 60 cents. Silver had a high of 527, a low of 518, to close at 523, up a penny. Platinum had a high of 416.50, a low of 414, to close at $415.50, down $1.20. And the Dow had a high of 38.45.50, a low of 38.20.30, to close at 38.45.20, up 18.6 points.
Well, thank you, Gene. Call, folks, 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. 1-800-289-2646. Take care of yourself and your loved ones. Don't get caught with your pants down. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Dissatisfied fellow countrymen, and not in mine, is the momentous issue of civil war. You can have no conflict without being yourself the aggressor. You have no oath registered in heaven to destroy the government, while I shall have the most solemn one to preserve, protect, and defend it. We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bond of affection.
Ladies and gentlemen, militias exist in all 50 states today. Just 2 years ago, there were only a very few militias in existence, and those had been in existence for many years. The current movement was begun by just two people in this nation, myself and Linda Thompson. You committed her a great disservice. For on the lies and disinformation put out by all our enemies, you have placed Linda Thompson as an outcast. You're wrong. You see, many of you would not have militias if it had not been for her and for this broadcast. Wouldn't exist. We wouldn't have the propaganda advantage, nor would we be as prepared as we are if it had not been for Linda. And I think tonight, as you hear the content of this broadcast, you had better think about that. And then if I am right about you, the good people of America who listen to this broadcast regularly, you will write her a letter and apologize and invite her back into the fold. She is a great leader, and she has more guts than most men I've ever known in my lifetime. For militias, invaders of U.S. are everywhere. Rural Americans angry at Uncle Sam are rallying behind the banner of property rights and local political control to limit federal authority over their lives and livelihoods by George DeLama, Chicago Tribune. For weeks, ominous messages have flashed back and forth on fax and phone lines across the nation. Russian troops and armaments are on American soil, training for a United Nations attack designed to subjugate the United States under a one-world power. Yellowstone National Park is under United Nations control, and the United States military is asking recruits whether they are willing to fire on Americans who resist a government order to confiscate their guns. Most Americans would give these and similar rumors the same weight as news of alien abductions or the latest sightings of Elvis. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the establishment news media ignores anyone and everyone and everything until it becomes a genuine threat. And then they begin the process of demonizing the propaganda aimed to turn the sheeple of America against the patriots and the militia forming across the country. And you're going to hear a lot of it tonight. You see, everything that he said in his previous paragraph is true. And then he said most Americans would give these and similar rumors the same weight as news of alien abductions or the latest sighting of Elvis. You see, he doesn't say it's not true. He doesn't deal with the facts. He demonizes the militia. Calls this rumors. And he goes on, but a growing number of mainly rural residents, and that's a lie, are organizing armed militias and consider such rumors the hard facts of a hidden plot by federal and state authorities to disarm average citizens and violate their constitutional rights. There's a feeling out there that if the government goes too far, there's going to be shooting someday, said Hugh McKean, a county commissioner in Catron County, Mexico, a bastion of anti-Washington sentiment where residents are organizing their own armed militia. The militia movement is spreading across the country, and it goes on to three whole more columns on another page, and two columns on a page after that. Now, if you are politically correct and they like what you are doing, they print stories that make you look good. If they don't consider you a threat and don't want anybody to know about you so that your movement will not escalate, they ignore you. When you are a real threat and they become scared, begin to tremble, begin to take it seriously, they begin the process of demonization exactly as they did to the Branch Davidians in Waco. The Metro Times, Volume 15, Number 1, October 12th to the 18th, 1994. Part 2, The History of Motor City Rock and Roll. What? Well, folks, I haven't lost my mind. I just want to make sure that when you get this, you get the right one. Patriot Games. Angry citizens are forming militias to protect themselves from their government. Several pages in the Metro Times, ladies and gentlemen. And let me see, who publishes the Metro Times? I have no idea, and it doesn't say here. But this is a centerfold that appears in major papers across the country. Metro Times. I'll get it. Balbine, Detroit, Michigan. There you go. Several pages, ladies and gentlemen, on the militias forming across the country. The article is entitled Patriot Games. The armed right and the religious right are joining together to form militias across the country. Another lie. You see, many liberals understand the danger, too. And these militia units are made up of all different races, all different religions, and not just the right. And the right, ladies and gentlemen, does not mean control. The right, traditionally, is for less government, more freedom. The left is for total control. The left is for bigger government, more socialism, more spending, more taxes, more control. Nazi means national socialism. It's on the left, not the right. Communism is on the left, extreme left. Liberalism leads to both of these. Liberalism does not mean what you think, ladies and gentlemen. Liberalism leads to control. Now, here's an article by Betty Shear, guest column, which appeared in the Kerrville Daily Times, Wednesday, September 7, 1994. Militia is a necessity to preserve freedom. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Constitution of the United States of America, Amendment 2, 1791. Because freedom, yours and mine, is ultimately dependent upon the rights guaranteed by these words, it is imperative that we understand their meaning. A militia is an armed citizenry, which, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, is not part of the regular armed forces, but is on call for service in an emergency. The Federalist Papers show that the militia referred to in the Second Amendment is the armed citizenry. It is the right of the people, not the right of any government entity, which is protected. The security of a free state clearly presupposes that the state, the citizenry, is free and needs to secure that freedom by defending the Constitution of the United States, the guarantor of that freedom, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, an obligation traditionally sworn to upon oaths of office, and all members of the intelligence service take that oath and pledge their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor. Enemies, foreign, obviously refers to entities or governments not of our country. Enemies domestic can only refer to an entity or government of our country. In effect, a government which would choose to make itself an enemy of the people by depriving its citizens of their constitutional protected rights. This is called tyranny, just in case you never learned. the primary reason for and purpose of a militia, an armed citizenry, a militia available to a government of the people, but beyond the purview of a government against the people, is to secure the freedom of the people against just such a government. Thomas Jefferson, in a letter to James Madison, said that a Bill of Rights is what people are entitled to against every government on earth, general and particular. Again, in his first inaugural address, he included among the essential principles of our government a well-disciplined militia, and the supremacy of the civil over the military authority. And should we wander from these principles in moments of error and alarm, let us hasten to retrace our steps and to regain the road which alone leads to peace, liberty, and safety. We, the people, the citizenry, have both a right, and this is the key word, a responsibility, individually and collectively, to keep and bear arms in order to defend ourselves against all enemies of our Constitution and the rights and freedoms thereby guaranteed. What kind of arms, you say? Any kind it takes. Do you understand? Obviously, arms must be kept and borne in a responsible manner in order to serve the constitutionally stated need and purpose. The Second Amendment is not concerned, as some absurdly would suggest, with hunting and sporting rights, albeit these rights exist along with the right to defend our lives and property. But be careful when you talk about hunting and sporting rights for people like the Disney Studios would give animals human personalities and thus animals gain rights, and with the disappearance of your hunting and sporting rights, so also will come the disappearance of your weapons. The intent of the Second Amendment is to arm the citizenry to defend itself against every government on earth, foreign or domestic, which would make itself an enemy of the people by violating their constitutionally protected rights. Government is the servant of an armed citizenry. It is the tyrant over an unarmed citizenry. Witness the many tragic illustrations of this deplorable state around the world today. No government, by the people and for the people, needs fear the arms of the people. No government, by the people and for the people, needs fear the arms of the people. Only a government against the people and their rights needs fear their arms. And that goes equally as well to organizations like the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. To lay down our arms is to transfer all power, all control, from the people to the government, thereby destroying, not securing, our freedom, for which once men were willing to die, and I tell you now, there are men living who are still willing to die, and you can count me one. The price of liberty, as Thomas Jefferson and others have warned, is eternal vigilance. This is not to be construed as an indictment against our present government, but vigilance requires that we be ever aware that tyrannies have arisen both from within and from without throughout history. That history, indeed, often repeats itself, and that it can, and if we are not very, very careful and very, very vociferous, it will happen here. Now, fellow citizens, arise from indifference. Take a stand, unite, and advise your congressmen of your resolve. Remind them that their duty is to serve the people as provided by our Constitution, and that any action which would violate our constitutionally protected rights will not be tolerated. And then don't be surprised if they do not listen to you. And don't neglect to thank those congressmen who support and defend our constitutionally protected rights. to provide means of communication for a nationwide militia. A group of citizens have formed the United States Civil Militia Organization, and there is, ladies and gentlemen, a Second Continental Army of the Republic. These organizations believe that the loss of our rights to keep and bear arms guaranteed by the Second Amendment would render all other constitutional rights and amendments unenforceable by the people. You had better take heed. Gun control. What if, in this election year, for all of you who may not have actively contemplated the consequences of the current administration's substantial efforts at gun control, perhaps some food for thought may be in order. What if the ultimate goal of the media and administration is not crime control, but total disarmament of the population, something that we have proven in our treason papers? What if, as a society, we have been duped by the media and administration into believing violent crime is on the increase when FBI statistics show that it actually declined prior to any gun control legislation? This just to play on your fears in order to make gun control seem reasonable. What if one of the reasons there appears to be more crime is that they have made more legislation calling more victimless events crimes? Did you know that most of the people in our prisons are guilty of nothing more than smoking pot, are taking drugs in their own body, not hurting anyone else in the process? What if Waco was a political experiment to see how far the American public would turn a blind eye towards illegal government intervention with tanks and armed helicopters in our First and Second Amendment rights? What if it was a test of their ability to control propaganda and the media and thus shape the opinion and the will of the people? What if the move towards the New World Order with United Nations intervention with troops in regional conflicts was training exercises to prepare for the time when United Nations forces are called upon to intervene on American soil and disarm its citizens, as enumerated in the Geneva Convention? What if the recent illegal act of banning semi-automatic weapons was a step towards ensuring minimal resistance to troops with full automatic weapons ordered to kick in your door, confiscate your guns, and eliminate any resistance? What if mandatory waiting periods and background checks were a ploy to establish an illegal list of names of armed Americans? What if there is a total collapse of the economy, a breakdown in food distribution systems resulting in large-scale rioting in urban environments? What if there is a plot to systematically destroy our Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the supreme law of the land, by legislating them out of existence? These musings may seem nothing more than delusions and beyond the realm of probability. What do you think? What would you do? Get involved. Form a militia or join a militia. Make your opinions known. Vote, because what if they that give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety? Benjamin Franklin said that in 1759. And this was a letter written to the Kerrville Daily Times by David Nix of Kerrville. Thank you. The new ADL report reveals militias preparing for war with the United States government. Blatant propaganda, lies, exactly like the ADL put out to destroy the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. New York, October 27th, United States Newswire. Angry bands of gun-toting right-wing militants calling themselves militias are preaching armed resistance against the federal government. The issue most agitating them is gun control, according to a report released today by the Anti-Defamation League, ADL. Armed and dangerous, militias take aim at the federal government, reveals evidence of activities of these paramilitary groups in at least 13 states, which means they don't know about the rest of you. ADL discovered linkages among some of the groups, wrong, all of the groups, consisting largely of sharing propaganda materials and speakers. No, except for the militia of Montana, we share facts and intelligence. They say the militia's target is plainly the democratic process itself, said Abraham H. Foxman, ADL National Director. To be fed up with government is one thing. To call for armed resistance is quite another. We are especially troubled, but not surprised, that they are attracting racists and anti-Semites. The ADL is the propaganda. And for others. The ADL does not care about protecting Jewish people. In fact, they manipulate the Jewish people and communities and have been caught in the act buying parade permits for Nazi demonstrations, infiltrating Aryan groups and racist organizations to instigate racial hatred and violence in order to funder large sums of money from the pockets of the Jewish people who believe that they really exist to help them so that they continue destroying the sovereignty of this nation and other nations and bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government. The ADL is to be, from this moment on, known as a treasonous organization bent upon the destruction of this nation, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And all patriots are directed to use exactly that termination when referring to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and to do everything in their power to educate the nation and the sheeple of the nation as to their true purpose and agenda. Two books that will help you with this are called The Ugly Truth About the ADL, published by the Executive Intelligence Review, and another book entitled Dope Incorporated, edited and published by the editors of the Executive Intelligence Review. On a later program, I'll give you addresses where you can write to obtain those publications. Birmingham News, 28th October 1994, Dees warns of U.S. citizen militias. The Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama, says it is alarmed by the growing number of citizen militias in the country and has asked the Justice Department to be on the alert. It is the laws, Title 10 of the United States Code, you dummy Dees, that provides for the militias. In fact, mandates the militias. And whether you know it or not, Dees, if you are of a certain age or have been engaged in honorable service with an honorable discharge in any branch of the military of the United States of America, you are also a member of the citizen militias. The Southern Poverty Law Center, ladies and gentlemen, is just another word for Anti-Defamation League, and will be treated and referred to in the same manner. We are engaged in a war for our liberty. Bullets are not flying, but words are. Words can kill, and you had better learn to use them and use them properly. You had better learn to use the press. You had better learn how to talk to the press. You had better learn the law that gives you legitimacy in your formation and your membership of militias. You had better learn that the fighting started a long time ago, and you must participate in this war. It is much better to be successful with words than to have to turn to bullets, I can assure you. Here's an article in the South Dakota Citizen, from Hitler's Austria to South Dakota. Family leader shares true story, urges attention to politics. It is the story of a woman who was a child in Nazi Germany. And I'm not going to read this story to you. You need to get it from the South Dakota Citizen, Volume 2, Number 3, March 1994. South Dakota Citizen, Volume 2, Number 3, March 1994. Read this. You see, what she sees in America today is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany in the 30s. Tuesday, October 25th, the Detroit Free Press. The Detroit Free Press. Civilian militia protest United Nations Day in Lansing. Lansing, Michigan. Monday's United Nations Day celebration at Lansing City Hall seemed innocent enough. Cider and donuts, an exhibit of children's artworks from Russia, and band music. But to Michigan's self-proclaimed citizens' militia, it was treachery. Several hundred militia members, most clad in camouflage and waving American flags, demonstrated against the raising of the United Nations flag outside City Hall. They called it a violation of United States sovereignty. Flags are symbols, and the United Nations flag is the symbol of global domination, said Norm Olson, the statewide commander of the militias. We're going to lose our sovereignty, and the United Nations is the driving force behind it. Olson claimed the United Nations secretly aims to lead the United States into a socialist world government and deprive Americans of their liberties. Militia members, a loose association of armed groups organized by county, claim to be the equivalent of the colonial armed forces of the Revolutionary era. Their purpose, they say, is to defend liberty from the government. The Michigan militia contingents began organizing last spring, at least partly in response to passage of gun control legislation in Congress. As the demonstrators chanted, "Raise the United States flag," and the Sexton High School marching band drowned them out with the national anthem, Mayor David Hollister strode to the flagpole, which was ringed by a dozen uniformed Lansing police officers. Police at one point had to push back some of the demonstrators. The small blue United Nations banner was hoisted on the same flagpole below the stars and stripes in accordance with the federal flag code, which specifies no person shall display the flag of the United Nations or any other national or international flag equal, above, or any position of superior prominence or honor to or in place of the flag of the United States. City workers took the United Nations flag down a few minutes later to avoid further confrontation. Children from area schools came to the celebration, seven of them dressed up as United Nations peacekeeping soldiers in little blue helmets. Blah! Hope you didn't get any on you, but I couldn't help it. And obviously, annoyed Hollister said, the militia demonstration reflects poorly on their judgment. These kids are here to celebrate brotherhood and diversity. Lansing celebrated United Nations Day for a dozen years without complaints, Hollister said. United Nations Day commemorates the establishment of the United Nations in 1945. City Councilman Tony Benavides, chairman of the United Nations Day Planning Committee, said the demonstrators have a right to express themselves. Olson said the children were being indoctrinated in the United Nations Marxist-Communist platform in schools, which were plying the children with these fuzzy ideas about UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, which helps feed and educate children in developing countries. After the demonstration, militia members toured the Capitol, courtesy of State Representative David Jay, Republican Shelby Township. Several dozen at a time, the camouflage-clad demonstrators trooped into the House chamber, sat in legislators' seats, and listened to Jay recount the building's lore and urge them to vote. Many demonstrators brought children carrying small American flags. We're here because the Constitution is being torn apart piece by piece, said Myra Spries, who, with her husband Don, brought along their daughter, Mary, 5. I applaud
with great honor and deep feeling, the militia of Michigan, which, unlike the militia of Montana, brings honor to us all. Now, that article was slanted to bring discredit upon the militia. Now you will hear the truth, published in a special letter by Cheryl Steiner in the Detroit News, Wednesday, November 16, 1994. Militia members show their patriotism. I was present at the United Nations flag raising in Lansing, and I am disgusted with the slanted media stories concerning this event. Not all of the demonstrators were militia members clad in fatigues. I would estimate that half were just concerned citizens in everyday street clothes. I was surrounded by diversity. There were men, women, and children of many ethnic and religious backgrounds. The common denominator here was their love of being an American and all that it stands for. Did you know that we could not hand out small American flags on the corner? Condoms or satanic literature probably wouldn't have raised an eyebrow. But American flags were not allowed. Did you know that the terrified children bussed in for this school-sanctioned event waved out the windows at my husband, who was videotaping while in his fatigues? Did you know that this threatening and menacing crowd was mostly singing patriotic songs? We certainly were not drowned out by the band. We were all singing right along with the national anthem. Did you know that the loudest rabble-rousers were some modestly dressed girls from a local Christian school? Did you know that when the United Nations flag was taken down to avoid further confrontation, the militia members were across the street on the Capitol steps listening to various speakers? Why, if this was a celebration of diversity, were the children carrying the flags, all dressed alike as United Nations peacekeeping soldiers? Why not in clothes depicting their unique cultures? The militias are made up of men and women concerned about the insidious stripping of the rights and freedoms that made America the land where diversity could flourish. That diversity needs to be protected, not squeezed into a uniform mold by a new world order. Even in our smallest villages, people have different needs, concerns, and ways of life. How can these be addressed by a huge global government? While the right to keep and bear arms is important to the militia, it is also important to you. How well will you be able to defend your home against peacekeeping soldiers when all you have is a table knife? Crime bills and gun laws are meant to disarm you. If we cannot protect and defend ourselves, we can be pushed around like sheep by dogs. The militia members are not wild-eyed fanatics bent on a revolution. They are men and women who wish to be prepared for the possibility that life as we wish to live it may no longer be allowed by a government grown way past its bounds. It should be of the people and by the people, not just for the people. And I applaud you, Cheryl Steiner, for your wit and obvious intelligence. Here's an article from the Detroit News. Comment, a call to United States veterans to take back our country by David Hackworth. David Hackworth calls for veterans to get off their butts, get out of the VFW halls and the American Legion halls, get that Budweiser can out of your fist, and help us take this country back. And here is a message for those of you who doubt what I'm telling you. It begins, attention Bill Cooper, 11394. It says, don't ever give up. Peace be upon you, in Hebrew letters. The reception on 7.315 megahertz is very weak. I can tell you are on the air at 8 p.m., but lost in noise. The reception on 5.065 megahertz last night was loud and clear, as was your message. I have already forwarded copies of the program to some friends around the country. Many of us do recognize the nature of the Anti-Defamation League, and I certainly appreciate your presenting this material. I was not aware of the noted news release. I have heard no other reporting on this today. This definitely needs to get out to the general public, and the Anti-Defamation League needs to be exposed. I hope you can appreciate my need to be very cautious in expressing my views. I prefer not to be publicly recognized, but I assure you that your voice is being heard in some important places. The education process continues to be slow and tedious. Lech Lach Shalom, strive unto peace and fulfillment. Exodus 4, verse 18. I'm not going to tell you his name, but this man is a Jewish patriot, and there are many, many Jewish patriots just like him. Dear Bill, wonderful show last night. Much, but not all, was completely new to me. The reason not all was new is because of a book by a local author around here. He wrote The Secret of Daniel's Fourth Kingdom, and it blows any so-called rapture theory completely out of the water. In spite of what my newsletter said, I no longer believe in a pre-tribulation rapture theory. I have a headstrong Midwest Christian audience that has to be moved into the truth slowly, or else they shut their minds and run away yelling, "Infidel!" I will either mail this book to you or bring it out when I come. If I bring it with me, expect me in mid-late November and hopefully being able to stay and work for at least 2 weeks, and I have been waiting for you for a long time. I wish you would get here. Keep up the good work, old man. Our militia unit, the Jackson County Rangers Unit of the Missouri Home Guard, our Civil War name, has met with resounding success and growth with a couple of severe tests under pressure, though not yet under fire. God has been kind to us, and we will not forget him. We won't forget you either, Bill. We just received our badges yesterday, silver circle stars like the Marshals, that state who we are and have the Missouri State seal in the middle. Any chance of you faxing over a copy of your Second Continental Army ID card? It would be a great help. Or at least let me know sometime where you got it, or a basic format so that we can make our own. When you get here, I'll give you your own. How about that? Once again, great work. You sounded like the old Bill we all know and love, and the Greek definition of hill or mountain was a monumental discovery. I already knew about the definition of sorcery via this book. One more thing. If you haven't come across Carl Granz's info yet, I will bring what I can with me. That's the only thing holding me up, my friend. You know I can't and will not do a show on anything that I have not personally studied. Your long-standing criticism of me for not bringing him to the microphone is not warranted. I cannot and will not until I study his material thoroughly. So please bring it with you. I cannot wait to see you. Key pro-army militia leaders held in Haiti. What do you think this story is all about? It appeared in the Houston Chronicle Monday, October 3rd, 1994, and stories just like this appeared in the major papers across the country. Key pro-army militia leaders held in Haiti. Ladies and gentlemen, they have begun the process of demonizing the militia. Another article from the Houston Post. United States flexes muscle against despised Haitian militia. Get the message, folks. You must learn to use this same rhetoric against our enemies. Make sure that it is truthful. Make sure that it is worded correctly. If you have to hire a publicist, someone who is an expert at this, and make sure they do it right. Texas Constitutional Militia, Southern Region. Statewide militia muster and patriot rally at the Alamo on November 12, 1994. Somebody please write me or fax me and tell me how that turned out. I hear that it was very successful, but I need a first-hand report from someone who was there, preferably two people. Rapid City Journal, South Dakota, Monday, October 10th, 1994. Gun activists, organized militia. You see, folks, you are not alone. The purpose of tonight's program is to give you sustenance, to let you know that you have support. You are not alone. We cannot go around the country and link arms right now because the Hegelian dialectic is at work. You must understand the reason for compartmentalization. You must understand that there are many of us, much more than our enemies. We are prepared to die for liberty. We do not ever want it to come to that point. We will do anything to prevent violence, not bring it about. But we must be prepared. From the Arizona Republic, Monday, October 10th, 1994. Grassroots militias fear threats in United States. See tentacles of police state everywhere. The Arizona militia, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the very best. And here is the work of the agents provocateurs of our enemies. There is word circulating that a movement is afoot to get all who have disagreement with all the gun control laws at 11 a.m. on Friday, 11-11, notice that 11-11, also Friday, the anniversary of the destruction of the Knights Templars was on a Friday, 11 a.m. on Friday, November the 11th. Add those three together, you get 33. This is an instigation by our enemies, and you have to watch for this. They are calling for everyone to fire off a single shot. If no gun, then use a firecracker. This info came from a group of men traveling the country as mountain men. Don't ever fall for this, and don't ever do it. If you shoot a rifle straight up in the air, that bullet will come down. If it comes down on a person, you are guilty of murder. Exactly what they want. If thousands of patriots across the country did this, I guarantee you at least two or three people would be killed or seriously injured. I've taught you the symbolism. Now use your brains. My grandmother would put it another way. She would say, blank or get off the pot. Use your brains. I've taught you a lot. Use it. 11 a.m. on November the 11th, 11, 11, 11 is 33. Sunday Advocate, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, November 6, 1994. United States militias preparing for invasion of foreigners. And here. Here is, I can't do this. Can't use that, folks. Here is New York Times, ladies and gentlemen, front page of the Houston Chronicle, 11-14-94, an article taken directly from the New York Times, written by Keith Schmider. Militias spread out across the United States. Armed movement is anti-gun control. And it goes on, talking about the militias. By the way, almost every one of these articles cites the militia of Montana as being dangerous and violent. We don't need that kind of publicity. Arkansas Democrat Gazette, November 9, 1994. United States solicitor seeks renewed gun bans near schools. Remember, the Supreme Court struck that down. Now they're trying to get it back in again. Be on your guard. Fearing a conspiracy, some heed a call to arms. From the New York Times. What's the date on this? Monday, November 14th, 1994. Here's another one. Same article, reprinted from the New York Times. New York Times National. And here's an article that appeared in the New York Times. Another one on the militia. And I want to read this. from the Shadow Man. It's called the Shadow Man Report. You may be certain that when articles about militias appear on the front pages of major newspapers like the one attached, that the campaign to demonize patriot organizations has begun in earnest. Note that the information for this article came mainly from a report released by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. The Anti-Defamation League is a Jewish organization which is an arm of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, Southern jurisdiction, but I must emphasize they do not represent Jews. It is their mission to muster public support against patriot groups and identify them as terrorists. Terms like middle-aged self-styled warriors, far-fetched conspiracy theories, paranoid conspiracy theories of secret elites, apocalyptic takeover, a term familiar to those who studied Waco, and big-bellied men in uniform are used to implant into the reader's mind that people joining militias are simple-minded, physically depleted, and potentially dangerous. They are also labeled as gun advocates and linked to the religious right through Protestant Christianity and, quote, white supremacists, end quote. As the months go by, the terms will become much more inflammatory, and I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, much more rabid in nature. You can be assured that many of these militias are being formed by, or infiltrated by, agent provocateurs of the Anti-Defamation League to lure them into some criminal act that will turn public support against them. And I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that is true. It is their method of operation. It is the Hegelian dialectic in operation. They have done this in the past, and it is one of their favorite tactics used to label organizations as anti-Semitic, and you must not permit it. Please do not misunderstand. The identifying of Freemasonry and the Anti-Defamation League with the demonizing of patriotism as an effort to invoke a kill-em-all, let-God-sort-em-out attitude in you, the sheeple. The vast majority of Masons see the Lodge as only a benevolent organization formed by members of the community to help the less fortunate through good works. They are sheeple also. Treat them with sympathy as you would a sick child. And the Anti-Defamation League does not represent the vast majority of Jews. Rank and file, Jews and Masons would be shocked and outraged if they knew the hidden agenda of these organizations they support, and there are staunch patriots among both of those organizations, Jews and Freemasons. Local individuals involved in the secret agenda of these societies, like Channel 13's Marvin Zindler, should be carefully sought out and identified by their own membership so they may be brought to justice for their treason. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless you all.
I can read the righteous by the end of every night. It's there.